Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, bringing you more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Let's get started with a look at this week's stories.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to speak with a church planter and pastor who is starting churches in apartment complexes.
I'm John Graham, and you may remember him from Fireproof or even as Mike Seaver on Growing Pains. Kirk Cameron is back with us today talking about his latest film, Saving Christmas, on The Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll talk about some important information for churches dealing with the protection of children.
I'm Myrna Brown. Bob Fitz has been leading worship and writing songs for more than 30 years. Well, where is he now? Can you say aloha?
Also today, church planting in Seattle, Washington on our Missionary Moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Taking church to apartment dwellers is the goal of In His Name. Let's get an inside look at this ministry from Juliana Smoke, now on Life with Purpose Radio.
95% of apartment dwellers do not attend church for various reasons. That is why Pastor John Huebner from Gainesville, Georgia, is going to where the people are by planting churches in apartment complexes. He formed In His Name Ministry that coordinates community activities, Bible lessons, and helps with church planting. And he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. The ministry is less than a year old, and you all have already planted three churches in three separate communities. Tell us a little bit about this ministry.
The whole idea is not just to do ministry in the apartment communities, but to create permanent churches in the community so that people can come and they can hear the gospel and they don't have to drive anywhere. They can come right outside their door and they can hear the message of Christ and they can respond to that. We started with a partnership with the Chattahoochee Baptist Association in Gainesville, and we've also partnered with the Georgia Baptist Convention as well as the North American Mission Board in order to reach out to these apartments. And the idea is to create a network of apartment ministries in the Chattahoochee Baptist Association. There's over 93 apartment communities, over 25,000 people living in these communities, with 95% of them not attending church. That's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel.
That is a lot of people. And do you find when you go in and plant a church in their community that it breaks down barriers?
Yes, it does. It takes some time to build trust so that people understand what you're about and what you're doing. It's easier to reach out first to the children and then to the adults. Some people will not go to your church because they have these perceived ideas about what your church is that really might not be true, but it doesn't matter. They're still not coming. And so you can come to our church as you are. You don't have to worry about finances. You don't have to worry about, you know, how you're dressed or where you're from, language barriers. None of that matters. You can just come as you are.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you go to the management at the apartment complex, are they open when you say, we want to plant a church?
Most of the time, management is very open to this type of thing because it helps to build the community. It helps to enrich the community. They like to see people doing positive things in their communities because many times only negative things happen. When you start putting positive things in there, many times it drives the negative out.
Right, right. And In His Name Ministries provides training and discipleship.
Yes, we do. One of the things that we do every Sunday is we get the leadership in the community. We gather together and we worship, we share ideas, pray together, and look for ways to grow so we can raise them up so that they can be leaders in their community as well.
Right, right. And I am sure you have seen lives changed in the process.
Just being there in the community gives you opportunity after opportunity to reach out to people that you just don't expect. I was in the community, a lady came who was homeless, living temporarily in that community, and because I was there, she started talking to me and was able to find her a place to stay. Within the next week, she came back and she showed me her key from where she was living and how God had provided her a place. And so it's just a way, because you're in the community, you're able to reach out to people because of your presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, John, this sounds like a powerful ministry that the Lord is using. And if someone would like to get involved with the ministry, how would they go about getting more information?
probably the best way to get information is through our website. We're at inhisnameofgainesville.org. You can contact me. We'd love to have people from the Gainesville area who are interested in doing missions work in Gainesville. This is a great way to do local missions.
We've been speaking with John Huebner with In His Name Ministry. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer with help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thanks for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. How does Kirk Cameron save Christmas? Well, that's the name of his latest movie, and he tells his story to John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Just a few weeks back, we were delighted to have Kirk Cameron with us as he talked about his baseball film, Mercy Rule. And he's back for the holidays with a new film called Saving Christmas. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be talking with you.
So tell us about Saving Christmas.
Saving Christmas is a brand new Christmas movie that is actually in theaters, and it's all about Christmas, the birth of Christ. And it's a fun family movie with lots of humor and dancing and singing and feasting and celebration, precisely because I think that we've lost a lot of that these days at Christmas time. You know, with all of the commercialism and the consumerism that can often drown out the meaning of Christmas, there's also people who are, they're a little uptight about Christmas. And in fact, they want it to so be about the birth of the baby in the manger that they feel that they can't celebrate. And they need to throw away their Christmas trees. And they need to scowl at Santa and end up frustrating their family and friends. And Saving Christmas is all about making the true reason for the season the cause for uproarious celebration and laughter and joy.
Now, the commercialization of Christmas is really not a new problem. Is there anything that kind of lit this fire in you to make this film?
You're right. It's not a new problem. Christmas has always been under attack. And you can just watch Charlie Brown's Christmas and see just a beautiful explanation of the true meaning of Christmas right there coming out of Linus's mouth. And it's still true today. We can lose focus on what Christmas is all about. But I think it's coming at us faster and more rapid fire nowadays, with people wanting to rip down every manger scene they see in public. They want to change Merry Christmas to Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings or Sparkle Season or whatever that means. And then you've got people with an uptight religious spirit that like I said, want to trace Christmas back to some kind of pagan origin and basically turn Santa into some sort of a satanic distraction from Jesus. And so Saving Christmas really looks into the history of Christmas, of St. Nicholas, of the Nativity, and also Christmas trees.
In Mercy Rule, you were able to incorporate several in your family to portray the on-screen family. Is anyone else going to catch our eye?
Well, my sister is up front and center. It's her Christmas party that we're at in the movie. And let's see, my kids are in the movie. You'll be able to catch them in the film. And what was really great is my production company is making movies right here where I live, including my family and my friends. And it's really been awesome. So starting with a couple documentaries, Monumental and Unstoppable, and you mentioned Mercy Rule. Now we're into Christmas, and we're going full throttle from here on out, making family movies that are going to inspire people in their faith.
It seems that you guys are kicking them out kind of quick. I mean, are there what can we look forward to in the future? How many for next year?
We're probably going to have two more films that will be coming out in 2015.
Well, it's a delight to see positive, exciting, fun, clean films. And with this one in particular, how can folks see the film?
The film opens November 14th in theaters all across the country, and we're there for 2 weeks only. So it's really important to get your tickets early. You can get them at savingchristmas.com. So just go on the website, savingchristmas.com. theatertheater.com, type in your zip code, and your theater will show up on the screen.
Are there any tools? I know last time there was some tools that churches could use to kind of integrate the message of the film into Sunday school, Bible study, preaching, whatever. Are any tools like that going to be available for Saving Christmas?
Yes, there's going to be a discussion guide online that you can pick up for Saving Christmas. And again, focusing on things like Santa Claus, the Nativity, and Christmas trees, as well as decorations and food and lights and gift giving. There's also free resources that you can use to share Saving Christmas across your social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook and websites and email. Just go to savingchristmas.com and you'll see the resources section there. Go to share and you'll see plenty of things that you can share with other people. And that's being updated all the time. So new materials are coming up every day.
Outstanding. Kirk, it's such a joy to have you with us. And thank you so much for your ministry to families and your testimony. It's just a joy. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me on your program. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely. Kirk Cameron, SavingChristmas.com will give you all the details. And in just a few weeks, you don't want to miss the theatrical release of this great film. And until next time, I'm John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. Our hope is that as you listen, they will inspire you to live your life with purpose. Of course, we'd always like to hear back from you as you listen. We'd like to get your comments about today's program, your feedback, story suggestions. Our email address is stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio and Facebook.com/LWP Radio. That's LWP Radio. Like to hear from you today. Also, we have a free gift for you. It's a book, hardback edition, just for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. It's called Words of Life. It's a great devotional book from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. A great way to start and end your day. All you need to do is go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Again, that's lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Fill in the short form when you get there, and we'll put it into the mail to you absolutely free. All right, now on with today's stories. Here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. Bob Fitts has been leading worship and writing songs for more than 30 years. Where is he now? Can you say aloha?
All right. Thanks, Myrna. Also ahead, the Send Seattle Church Planting Team is making headway and touching lives for Christ. And you'll hear about it today on our Missionary Moment. But before all of that, Ron Lawson is standing by in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for our story of recognizing and reporting child abuse.
All churches work with children, and it is the job of the church to protect the children who participate in our ministries and programs. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a Christian legal advisor on important matters of dealing with suspected child abuse. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to have in the studio with me today Tom Duval, our convention attorney at the Georgia Baptist Convention. Tom, you've been working as the attorney for the convention, I think, for over 25 years, so you've seen a lot coming and going.
Yes, sir, I have, and it's been a wonderful experience, by the way, working with the convention and more particularly with the churches that we deal with. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Tom is not only an outstanding attorney, he's an outstanding Christian. At one point, he was my Sunday school teacher, and I enjoyed those years. Tom, he's a man who loves the Lord and walks with the Lord daily, and we're just here to talk about some very important matters, in particular a white paper, Tom, that you recently wrote titled What a Church Should Know About Reporting Suspected Child Abuse. I know that we have laws in Georgia that are similar to laws across the land. Why don't you just jump in and start talking about this particular issue, because it's one of the things that churches query you about on a fairly regular basis.
Dr. White, I think we all know that church leaders should be aware of what is needed with child abuse and how to deal with it. You know, almost all litigation that churches are involved in, or at least let's say this, most of the litigation involves child abuse and not reporting or reporting or incidents, negligence and so forth involving child abuse. The FBI says that before their 18th birthday, 1 in 5 boys will be sexually abused and 1 in 3 girls will be sexually abused. And almost all of this occurs prior to the teen years, about 95% of the time. Almost 90% of child abuse cases involve a person who knows the child and who the child trusts. In other words, care provider, maybe a coach, a student leader, a ministry volunteer at a church, a family friend. So it is something that churches must be aware of at all times.
What does the law in our state say about what to do if you suspect something like that happening? Of course, we hate to think about anything like that happening in a church environment, but we know that wherever people are engaged, you have problems like that. So what does the law say, Tom?
Dr. White, all 50 states have child abuse laws, and all 50 states have what we call mandatory reporting statutes, which means that certain people in categories that are listed in the statute are required by law to report child abuse. When I say required by law, I mean this, that if a person does not report child abuse and they have reasonable suspicion that child abuse has occurred, they can be charged with a misdemeanor for not reporting it. And there are examples of that having occurred where someone has actually been charged for not reporting child abuse. In Georgia, the law was changed in 2012 that greatly expanded those that are required to report child abuse. Interestingly enough, for churches, the law doesn't even use the word church, but it uses a term called child service organization personnel. That is in the Georgia statute. And by the way, the Georgia statute, as you say, is very similar to other states. So if someone is hearing this outside of Georgia, it's probably applicable to their state also. But the word child service organization personnel covers all persons who are employed by or volunteering at a business or an organization, whether it's a public one, a private one, a for-profit or not-for-profit, that provides care, treatment, education, training, supervision, coaching, counseling, recreational programs, or shelter to children. You can see it is sufficiently broad enough to cover many of the programs we have in our churches. For example, Sunday school would be covered, children's choir, vacation Bible school, maybe a Mother's Day Out program, a nursery program, a daycare, children's camps, retreats, ACT teens, GAs, RAs, sports, recreation. All of those are covered under the Georgia statute and probably are covered in most states. And, of course, a child is defined in almost every state as a person under the age of 18. It's something that anyone should be concerned about regardless of whether they're in Georgia or some other state.
Absolutely. Talk to us about insurance. What kind of insurance do churches need to have, Tom?
Oftentimes, a church will secure insurance and the policy goes into a book and it's stuck in a file cabinet and the church never really asks, what does that insurance policy cover? Churches should be aware of what their insurance policy says. And the big question they should ask is, does it cover sexual abuse claims? Since that's one of the things churches should be most concerned about, they definitely need to look at their policy and, more importantly, call their agent and talk to their agent and ask specific questions about what it does cover and, more importantly, what does it exclude?
I know that insurance is important. Of course, you know, you wouldn't need insurance if you didn't have challenges and problems and wrong things being done. Our desire, of course, is to stop wrong before it's done. Churches experience all kinds of legal issues just in the course of their work and of their ministry. Do you have a word of advice for churches about legal matters, Tom?
Churches should identify people in their congregation that have some expertise in the different areas. Whenever there's a situation involving child abuse that occurs and I get a call and someone asks the question, here are the facts, should we or should we not report it? Do we need to look into this or investigate it? I advise the church, if they have a lawyer in the church, to get the lawyer involved. If they don't have a lawyer, oftentimes they'll have somebody that's involved in human resources in the church or that works for a corporation in the HR department, or maybe someone that's law enforcement or retired law enforcement. Churches should have a committee together of these individuals, maybe a risk management committee of some type, so that they can deal with any problems that come up, be it child abuse or be it some other area of risk or liability.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate your sharing with us. And I want our listeners to be aware of this white paper that you wrote. And so may I encourage all of you to go to our Georgia Baptist website. It's gabaptist.org. There you will find a banner that is titled, What a Church Should Know About Reporting Suspected Child Abuse. And this is Mr. Duval's white paper on the subject, and I think that you'll find it very, very helpful. I encourage you to go take a look at that. And Tom, thank you for your great legal counsel over the years and your ministry among Georgia Baptists and our churches. And thank you for being with us today on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White.
For more information and to view this important white paper, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
You may know his name, Bob Fitz.
from the Live Maranatha and Integrity Praise and Worship CD series over the past years. Bob and his wife continue to travel the world leading in worship, and Life with Purpose Radio's Myrna Brown brings us their story.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth.
That's the song Bob Fitz is probably best known for. He's been at the forefront of worship leading and songwriting for more than 30 years. And he joins us now on Life with Purpose Radio. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Bob, the power of radio. I'm in Georgia, and you're a world away, feels like. Tell our listeners where you are right now.
Well, I'm in Hawaii. My wife and I have lived here for, 35 years now.
Okay, so now that we collectively all hate you. I'm kidding, of course. But why Hawaii?
Well, I had been involved in worship leading and pastoring in Southern California for a number of years, but had felt for a long time that God had put a desire in my heart to be involved in songwriting and music. And so I had presented some songs to what was at that time called Maranatha Music, and they had expressed some interest. But at the same time, there was a music seminar that was being presented here in Hawaii with a lot of the, what was at that time, well-known artists, worship leaders, musicians. And so I came to Hawaii to attend that seminar, and we decided to come over to Hawaii to work with an organization called Youth with a Mission.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The song that we heard in the beginning of the piece, Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty, you wrote that while working with Youth with a Mission, right?
Yes, I did. We were actually on staff at a school at the time, and we were also attending a local church here in Kona. And on a number of occasions, they would ask me to come and to either do special songs or to lead worship. So this particular Sunday, they'd ask me to come and to sing a song, and I couldn't think of anything, so I said, God, I need a new song. Give me a new song. And he did.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those, okay, let me just drop one on you, Bob.
You know, when people think of Hawaii, gorgeous, beautiful, spectacular, you might lose sight on the fact that, you know, there are people everywhere, including Hawaii, who need to know the Lord.
Well, Hawaii has an incredibly wonderful history of Christianity. The basic foundation of this these islands is really in Christ from way back in the mid-1800s. When the missionaries came over from Connecticut, from that time until now, Christianity has had a strong influence on the state, and we're just grateful. In terms of sharing our faith, we have many, many vibrant churches here and ministries here, including, as I mentioned, Youth with a Mission, who are actively involved in finding ways to reach out to people and to let them know they're loved unconditionally by Jesus.
I want to talk about another ministry, Alabaster Ministries.
We were taking some time away and said, God, you know, is there something fresh that you would have us do within the context of our calling and ministry? And the scripture in James came to mind that says, pure religion and undefiled before the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their distress and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we have always had a special drawing towards widows and orphans, and so we decided that probably one of the greatest expressions of worship to God is to touch orphans and widows, those that are helpless. Our first benefit worship concert was for a woman named Ruth Ruibal, whose husband was a very well-known pastor in Colombia who'd been assassinated a few weeks earlier. And so we called her up and said, we feel like God has told us very clearly that we're to stand with you and support you at this time. So we flew her and her assistant over here to Hawaii and did a big benefit concert, and that was kind of our kickoff concert.
Are you still recording? You're still singing?
We've released three new recording projects in the last 6 years. One of them is called Restore.
Restore my soul. See you, glory, glory.
again, this is within that whole mindset that the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about restoring humanity to its intended purpose of relationship with God. And then we did a compilation CD with several new songs on it called Call to Worship. We also did a special Christmas project called My Treasures.
This is the little that I know. I know that in Hawaii, when you say hello, aloha, right?
Okay. That's right. It's kind of a catch-all term. It can be hello, goodbye, I love you, all kinds of things.
Okay, well, as we say goodbye, we say aloha, and thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us all the way from over there in Hawaii and just enlightening us. Great conversation.
Thank you very much.
Bob Fitz. And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Seattle, Washington now on Life with Purpose Radio.
When I walk here, I see people who need Jesus Christ.
When I walk around this area, I feel broken. When I walk the streets, I really have started to see people for who they are.
Their greatest need is Jesus. They just don't know it yet.
96% of the people in our greater metro area are not in church on any given Sunday.
I wish that every time I talk to a non-believer, they decide to be a Christ follower right there. It does not happen here very often in Seattle.
I'm mostly atheist.
I guess I could describe myself at best as agnostic.
Seattle is one of the few places in North America where Christianity is actually growing.
Whenever God does something, He takes a man from where he is and puts him where he wants him to be. We wouldn't be doing this if that hadn't have happened. Because this is going to be hard.
And I've never seen anything like what we're seeing in Seattle right now. We now have church planters going into the city like never before.
And it is undeniable that He is at work within our midst.
We do need people to come here and put their feet on the ground, make our footsteps bigger.
It's going to take time. We're asking for partners to try to stay on board for 5 years.
Man, when you have a church that commits for the long haul, that's how the gospel gets planted.
When I walk these streets, I love this city. And we are here because we consider this place home.
Yeah, when I walk around this area, I feel hopeful. And it's pretty incredible. We just absolutely love seeing the fruit of being where you're called.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, go to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about In His Name Ministry, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, Preventing Child Abuse in the Church, Bob Fitz, and church planting in Seattle, Washington. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.